1989 in the Philippines, and I got married to her in 1981. And we have three daughters and two granddaughters. And so all these, obviously, are ladies. The Lord has surrounded me with ladies, and that's good. They take care of me well. They serve me, love me, take care of me. I'm so happy to have ladies in my life. My grandmother was the one who influenced me into the life in the spirit. She was a very spirit-filled woman. She was not able to read or write. She was, you know, she was not educated like most of us are. She didn't know, you know, letters. She couldn't read or write, not in her own language, not in English, not in any other language. She couldn't read or write. She would ask me to come and read the Bible to her. And if she says, read Numbers 2, and I read Micah 1. And sometimes I used to do that. Just, you know, the naughtiness in me just want to check. And she would say, no, you are reading from Micah 1. And I said, Numbers 2. She knew. She knew which was which. She knew the Bible. She would recite from verses from the Bible, but she couldn't read or write. Somebody had to read to her. Isn't that crazy sometimes? You know, like she knows the Bible, but she couldn't read or write. How can that be? I don't know. Just ask God. I don't know. I cannot explain that to you, that dynamic to you, that supernatural. And she would read, she would recite scripture. And she would pray, the least is, I know, about 8 hours a day. She would pray every day. And then she would receive words from the Lord. She was a very hardworking woman. My grandfather and grandmother, they had cattle, you know, they had goats, cows. They had poultry, they had pigs and chicken and turkeys and ducks and, you know, not just a few, plenty. And they, we lived in about a property of about 15 acres of land, and it was full of coconut land. And they would tend to those coconut trees, my grandfather and grandmother, very hardworking people. They would wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and pray till 6, and then from 6 o'clock, they would work out there. And about 8:39, they would come back to the house, and then she would get into her prayer. And then she would pray and pray and pray and pray till about 12:30, and then have lunch and then go back and work out there in her land, and then come back. And then she would pray. And the Lord would give her words. When she prayed, the Lord would give her words of people who were sick somewhere. The name and the address and everything. The disease and everything. She would go and pray there until that person got healed. Only when the person got up, got out of bed, that she would come home. And when she prayed, if you were demon-possessed, you never wanted to be anywhere close when she prayed. Or if you were in sin, you never wanted to be anywhere close when she prayed. Very powerful. Very small. I mean, you know, I'm small. I'm a short guy. And she was like my shoulder high. Very small, but a spark and a dynamite. When she was praying, And you were playing hanky-panky, she would know. She would just know. And I would be naughty in school, and I come home, and she would say, Leslie, at 10 o'clock in the morning, what were you doing? I said, nothing, Grandma. I was being good. Were you being good? Oh, yeah, I've been good. And she said, well, I saw you doing this. I would say, when did you come to school? She says, no, I don't have to come to school. The Lord shows me what you're doing. She would anoint me with oil and pray for me every morning before I went to school. Until I was ready to go to Bible school at the age of 24, she would anoint me every day and pray for me. And I tell you, those days of anointed prayer, I hated it earlier. I mean, you know, when I was small, she would pray, oil would flow down my cheeks, and she would say, don't you ever wipe out that oil off your face, God will be mad at you. I mean, that was a theology she knew. She had no theology. You see, she didn't have a statement of faith. She had no theology. She knew the Bible. She couldn't read. She knew a God so very passionately and sincerely and deeply in her heart. And she walked with God. And whatever she said happened. Whatever she said happened, and we were awfully scared. Just awfully scared. That's the way I was brought up, and God really blessed me. And my mother was almost the same, not near as much, but she was a woman of prayer. She prayed, and she was my strongest and the most faithful intercessor until she went to be with the Lord in 2010. I miss her, but I know that my grandmother and my mother prayed a lot, and those prayers that they prayed are deposited in a very special bank in heaven, and I draw from it every day. I just sense that I draw from it every day because the prophetic words that they have spoken over my life, the prayers, the prophetic prayers, the prophetic words that they have spoken over my life still keep happening. And when it happens, I know, oh yeah, my grandmother said that, you know. And so I really thank God. And I want to, as I start this, I want to tell you, you grandparents, grandmothers and grandfathers, take the time to love your grandchildren and invest in them, praying for them, giving them words, anointing them, because they will become great in the kingdom of God. My grandmother heard me preach. She heard me preach. She heard me. She saw me planting churches. I started planting churches when I was 20 years old. And she saw me. She heard me preaching, and she was very happy that she prayed for me and brought me up. Even my mother, that they brought me up in the nurture and in the fear of God. Now, let me tell you what I saw. I saw you as a congregation. I know that you are not from just one congregation, but I saw you as God's people in this area where you are. And God was pouring out his spirit, and the water level of God's presence and spirit began to rise. It just began to rise. And I saw some of you from a distance, watching, evaluating, investigating, speaking out points of view and opinions. There were others who were wetting their feet and washing their hands and enjoying, just having fun, enjoying that. There were some who walked in to ankle height water, the others to knee level, the others to waist level. And then many, as they started walking towards the shoulder level, they would plunge and swim. Some would swim really deep. Others would swim a little, come up, then go swim a little, come up. They wouldn't stay too long, but there were the ones that would go deep in. And my message tonight to you is come. Just the word come. The Lord is calling you. He's inviting you. With his heart open, no reservation whatsoever. With his hands extended, reaching out to love and embrace, to draw you close to his heart. And he's saying, come. I remember when I was 12 years old and my dad was not walking with the Lord. He would be intoxicated and he would smoke a lot. He would be intoxicated and he would come back home and beat us very badly. We had a very bad childhood. I remember that. And then on one side, I had a wonderful experience with my mom and grandma. On the other side, my dad was tormenting us. It was really, really bad. And I was about 12 years old, and I was wanting to kill myself. I was at a point of depression, anger, and I wanted to first, I had deep bitterness towards my father, and I wanted to kill him. But I thought if I did kill him, then but it's no point, because my mother would lose her husband and I would be in jail and I wouldn't be able to help her and it would be terrible. So the best thing I could do is kill myself. I cannot take this anymore. Because when I would see my mother get beat up, it was too much for me. I couldn't handle it. I wanted to kill him, or then I thought I'd kill myself. So I was wanting to commit suicide. And that's when I had dreams. And in three of these dreams, I had three dreams, one after the other. And I saw Jesus. And he was on the cross. And he was on the cross and he was looking at me. And he said, I died for you. I paid the penalty for you. If you would come to me, I will turn your life around. I will bless you, empower you, and I will take you around the world and make you a prophet to the nations. You are a man of value and worth, he was telling me, and I thought otherwise before I heard him. I thought there was no value and worth in me because my father used to say, you're worse than a dog, you're worse than an animal, when he got angry. So I grew up kind of, on the one hand, I told you, with my mother's and grandmother's prayers, and on the other hand, my father tormenting. It was a power encounter, maybe. It was a clash of the kingdoms. Darkness and light want to have me at the same time. And I heard these words from the Lord the first time. And the second night, I had the same picture of Jesus on the cross and the same words. On the third night, on the third successive night, I saw him come down from the cross. And he came up to me and says, he extended his hands to me and he said, come. And I took a step forward and he embraced me into his arms. He just started loving me and he said, welcome home to the family. And my life changed completely. He changed me completely. I got baptized with the Holy Spirit at the age of 16 and never looked back. Never looked back. I went to my grandmother and I told her what happened. She knew I was a very naughty boy at the age of 12. And when she heard the story, she wept. She was so deeply moved. And she told me, I'll watch you grow. And she did watch me. She did correct me. She did watch me. She did speak to me the words of life. My mother prayed. And the Lord, I hear the Lord say to you, come. Come. And I want to speak on that, on this word, come. He's giving us each an invitation. This is the invitation, firstly, in Isaiah 1, 18 to 19. Do you like to read the scripture a lot? I read sometimes more than 15, 20 chapters of the Bible a day. I just read it. And then sometimes I stop and underline and read it again. And if I feel led to stay there and meditate, I do. But then I like to read the scriptures a lot. And God speaks to me maybe 2,000 times as I continue to read the scriptures so much. The word of God is like water. It washes over your mind, your heart, your spirit, your conscience, your attitudes, your moods. Just washes and refreshes you. And so the more I read, the more refreshed and the more unburdened I feel, the less pressurized I sense when I read the word. So I love to read the word. So unlike other preachers, I might read too much of scripture. And I hope you are the kind of people who do not get bored by someone reading the scriptures to you. Isaiah 1, verses 18 and 19. Isaiah 1, verses 18 and 19. I love this scripture. God speaks and says, come. Didn't I tell you that I'll speak on the word come? There it is. Come. What a coincidence, huh? How would anyone have ever known that there would be this here? Come. Wow. Now. Come now. And let us reason together, says the Lord. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. God wants to have a cup of tea with you, not coffee, tea. He knows better than coffee. And he says, when I used to go to Pastor Jack's conferences, you know, have you been to some of those conferences? Pastor Jack says, let's tea with Pastor Jack in the morning. In the early morning session, he would say, tea with Pastor Jack, but I knew he was drinking coffee. And he was the only one who was drinking. We had no coffee or tea. And we were sitting and we would watch him drink. And he said, tea with Pastor Jack. First time when he said, tea with Pastor Jack, I really wanted to have a cup of tea with Pastor Jack. But about 2,000 people. And he's sitting there, you know, with a stool like this. He would sit and he would have his coffee, saying, tea with Pastor Jack. And here, this is even better. Tea with God. He's saying, come now. He wants to have FaceTime with you. He wants to have FaceTime with you and I. And he says, come. Come. When you and I come to God, we must put our guard down. So many of us want to protect certain areas of our hearts and our lives from God, lest he sees us and then he would not be impressed anymore. Have you tried to impress God? Man, I tell you, I have tried many times. Have failed. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let me ask you a question. Be honest with yourself. You don't have to tell me the answer. Answer to yourself sometime during the evening. But don't let this question escape you until you answer it. And the question is, do you like what you are becoming? You know, and I know, what we are supposed to be like. He has given us an invitation. He created us in his image and likeness. And you and I, like Adam and Eve, have fallen. We were created in his image and likeness. And we have walked away. And God, through Jesus, is trying. He has come to restore that image and likeness in us. And his call is, he says, come. I want you to be like me. And the question today is, when you come to him and try to reason together with Him. Check if you like what you're becoming. I remember when I came to know the Lord Jesus at the age of 12. Oh man, I fell in love with Him completely and fully, head over heels. Just love Him. I loved Him to bits. I was a child, 12, you know. I just loved Him with childlike innocence. I sang for Him. I was so on fire for Him. I would go and I didn't care whom I talked to. Just talk to anyone and everyone. And the only point of question that I had was, I didn't care how I started the conversation. Do you know Jesus? If you don't know Him, high time you know Him. Why don't you know Him? I would ask that question from Buddhist priest. I would ask that question from anyone. What has happened to me today? I'm not the way I used to be. I was becoming more like Jesus then today. I had words for people. Not that I don't today, but it is not like the way it used to be. Remember when you first came to know Him, how passionate you were, how treasured those words that you received from the Lord, how much you embraced those words deep in your soul. When you first heard the voice of God, remember when you first heard His voice, how beautiful. When you started hearing His voice for the first time, those first days and years, how precious they were. Do you take your relationship with Him for granted? Are you presumptuous? Are you cold? Have you fallen from your first love? Are you neither warm nor cold? Are you lukewarm in your love? Where are you? Where are you? He says, come. Let's have FaceTime. Let's reason together. I mean, He is not calling you to condemn you and me. He's not calling you to condemn you. He's not calling you to judge you. He's not calling you to say, come, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you off. He is not saying, come, I want to give you a piece of my mind. Some people have given pieces of their minds away that they have no mind of their own anymore. He is not calling to give you a piece of His mind. He's saying, let's talk. Let's talk. Where are you? Let's reason together, says the Lord. And He says, though your sins are scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What he's saying is, come. You don't have to cover up. Just come, just as you are. Let me have a good look at yourself. Let me talk to you. Let's talk together. If you have something to tell me, come on now. Talk. Let's talk. Let's reason together. He wants you to have an open dialogue, a conversation. He's calling us. He's calling us to transparency. He's calling us to accountability. It's not scary. Because he's called to accountability, his call to transparency is not scary. Because he is not calling to reject you. He is not calling to cancel your name off the book. He is not calling to wipe you out, but he is calling to wipe you clean. But his call is a call to reasoning and repentance. Do I have something to repent of? You tell me, I got. I got heaps to repent of. When I go back, I'm going to repent of several things I now remember. Come, the Lord says. Will you? Would you do that? Would you come to him? Would you come to him, back to his first love? That you may be healed of your lukewarmness, neither hot nor cold. Would you come out of your wretchedness unto him? And secondly, I just found another come. Matthew 11 and verse 20. Isn't that amazing? Another come? Wow. We're going somewhere tonight, aren't we? Matthew 11. Matthew 11. I'm really excited about this Jesus. He says, come. Matthew 11. Can you see that? My goodness, come. He says, come. But this time he says, come to me. He is calling us to an intimate relationship with him. Come. To me. Come to me. An intimate, a walk to intimacy with Jesus. A call to reason together and a call to come to a deep intimacy with him. Can I say that I have an intimate relationship with him? Do I hear the rhythm of his heartbeat? Does my heart beat to the rhythm of his heartbeat? Do I love the things he loves passionately? Do I hate the things he hates? The things that he loves, does that draw me like a magnet? Has he captured my heart? for the things he loves. Or do I think about God only when I am among those guys and girls who talk about God? Other times, oh well. I'm preoccupied. I'm preoccupied with my work, with my own stuff. We got stuff to take care of. And so we become part-time in our relationship with him. Just a little bit, a part-time relationship with him. After all, we got to be secular. And we got to be, so we become secular full-time and Christ-like or Christians half-time. And the Lord would have none of that. He says, come to me. Jesus, I see Jesus in Mark 3. I told you that I'm going to take you through a Bible class. Mark 3 and verse 14. Jesus had already called his disciples, follow me. He goes to Peter, James, and John, and he says, follow me. He goes to Matthew, he passes Matthew and says, follow me. And all these guys started following Jesus. He called them. And then he appointed 12. After he had called, he appointed them. He prayed. Remember, before he appointed them, he prayed overnight and he comes and appoints them. And then it says here that he appointed 12 that they might be with him. Not that they might go out for him. Not that they might go with him. But they might be with him. And so the call to you and I is come to me. Come to me. How much of time? Not just clockwise do I spend with him, ministering to him. Sometimes we get busy ministering for him, ministering to others. But how about me getting to be with him? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He who what? Dwells, stays, who lives with him. He who dwells, stays with him. Not just comes in and goes out, but hangs out with him. How much do you hang out with him? That they might be with him. The immediate result, though, of being with him is that deep, amazing rest. The sabbatical. In his presence there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Some people just have a happy hour. And their happiness is just limited to a clock hour. But those who understand, have received the invitation and have responded to the invitation and make sure that we live with him and we spend time with him. You know what? His presence gives us so much joy, so much pleasure. Some of us cannot even smile. Our faces one time had dimples, but now they are wrinkled. Dimples and wrinkles. What do you have? Wrinkles? He gives us dimples. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And therefore, he is calling us to times of refreshing from his presence. Times of refreshing. He is saying to us, come and experience my rest, a call to a divine exchange. Do you like that? A divine exchange. And he calls us to that divine exchange from our worries and our trials and our anxieties to a divine exchange. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He's calling us to take his yoke upon us. You know, I grew up in a culture where we had ox carts. You guys don't even know. You've only seen pictures of ox carts. Come on. I mean, you got to be educated like me. You only seen pictures of ox carts at a distance, but I have ridden in them. Come on. I mean, I have seen how this scripture works. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. What does that mean? In our culture, we use ox carts. My grandparents had ox carts. You see, when they train a young ox to carry burdens, they put that ox with a senior, a well-experienced ox. So there are two oxes on an ox cart, two yokes. And these two yokes are tied to one, and then they carry one load. And so what they do is they put the young ox, they first put the old ox tied to the yoke, and they bring the young ox and put that guy to the yoke. Now, the younger ox doesn't actually, he has not grown tall enough for the yoke. But they still have the guy there. Right? And the whole weight of that burden of the cart falls on the older guy. He takes the full weight upon himself. Now, if you had put the young ox without the old ox, what the guy would have done was he would have tried to run. The young ox, you know, they have a lot of strength and they have a lot of fun in them, in their bones, and they want to run. And they would destroy, they'd overthrow everything that is on the cart. They would get hurt and all of that. But with the old ox, no way. The old ox controls the weight and controls the pace, and they walk. The old ox walks, and the young guy cannot run ahead of him because he's tied next to that. And they just walk together. They learn to walk. Your ox learns to carry the weight. He doesn't still have the weight on him, just a little bit. And then he learns to walk to the same pace of the old ox. After they've done about a year together, then there is the transition. The old ox moves out to retirement, and the retirement is the beef store. And the younger ox becomes the senior one. That's the way it works. All right? And when Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light," that's exactly what he said. He calls you to a walk with him. Let's walk this together. I'll carry the burden. I'll be your burden bearer. And I'll walk with you. You learn to walk. And I'll teach you how to do it. I'll teach you how to do it. So, walking with Jesus, he's called us to walk life with him. And we learn to handle life better. He doesn't take that responsibility away from us. He gives it to us little by little. Here a little, there a little. He begins to, precept by precept, line upon line, he begins to teach us. He teaches us how to take life. Not to run away from life, not to get away from responsibility, but to move in with a sense of wisdom and stewardship. Come and learn of me. To be yoked, to learn to walk in the same stride, the same pace. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. There is a price tag of walking with Jesus. It's not free. There is a price to pay. Take up my cross and follow me. You see, so he gives us, he says, come and I'll teach you. A call. This come is a call to inherit. Now again, I tell you, I promised you that I'll take you through scripture, right? And I don't want to break my promise. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Oh, everyone who thirsts. Now again that word appears. Come. Do you see that? How amazing. How everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. He is calling us to a priceless inheritance. He's calling you and I to a priceless inheritance. No one can give us that inheritance that we have in him. And we can inherit his promises every day. His promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And why do many of us not walk in victory? Why do many of us not inherit the promises and the goodness of God? It is because we do not sit and listen and walk with him and yoke with him. Let's not bargain for that which is unreal. He says in verse 2, why do you spend money for what is not bread, that which is and your wages for what does not satisfy. Expend not for that which is unfulfilling. The enemy would try to steal away, to take away, steal, kill, and destroy that which God has for us to inherit. He says, come and listen carefully. Delight your soul in his abundance. And he says, incline your ear and come to me. Incline your ear. Be humble. Listen. Be humble. Be open to be obedient. Here your soul shall live. Enter into an everlasting covenant. He's calling us to hear his voice and come into an everlasting covenant. In verses 6 and 7, he says, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. The call is to seek him and to find him, to walk into this inheritance with him, that we walk in victory, we walk in stability and maturity and walk hearing him constantly, never lost, never losing direction, never fainting. Why? We faint because we get preoccupied and then we lose vision, we lose that sense of him with us. When we are not sure we are walking with him, we get tired. But when his presence is there, we know for sure that we are not carrying a burden. But he becomes bigger all the time than any of our situations, circumstances, and problems. And he calls us into a living intimacy, which results in John chapter 7, 37 to 38. John 7, 37 to 38. And on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. He spoke concerning the Spirit, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And he is saying, if you are thirsty, come. He calls us to a spirit-filled, overflowing life in the Spirit. There's more for us, more for us. And he's just calling us, saying, come, I have so much more for me. If you thirst after me, come and drink. And when you learn to drink every day, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You will be filled constantly with the power of the Holy Spirit. The empowerment of the Spirit is there to keep refreshing us, to keep pouring out his Spirit. And he's calling us. I hear him call to all of us. Let's not just wet our feet only. Let's not just stand back and sort of try to analyze things. There are people who would like to analyze, to criticize, to see who does what up front. And who stands how. And they kind of want to just evaluate things and try to kind of know, you can never figure out the Spirit. You and I will never figure out the Spirit. He's not calling us to reluctance, but to not to resistance, but to move in, completely trusting in Him, because He has so much more. None of us have arrived, have we? None of us have arrived. There's so much more that God has for us. And He would call us who have been on fire but now have become lukewarm. Those of us who have walked with the Lord once but now have become presumptuous. And those of us who have taken things for granted and live a que sera sera spiritual life. And He's saying, come. Come. Because you can be renewed, refreshed, revived, resuscitated with that new life in Him. And He would say, come, come, that you might be on again be filled and set apart and set on fire for the Lord by the power of the Spirit. As you come tonight, I want us to have a moment of coming to Him. And as you come, these are some of the things the Lord is wanting to do in our lives. There's a person here who has a problem in your lungs, and the Lord's going to touch you and heal you. There are three people here who suffer of this problem of glaucoma, and that God's going to touch and bring healing and restoration. There's a person with a problem on your right ankle. The Lord wants to heal you. Inflexible, right ankle, painful. Your right shoulder, there is another, your right shoulder. You know, it's frozen, and the Lord wants to cure you. There's a person with both knees, very inflexible and painful, and one knee swollen, and the Lord wants to heal. There's a gentleman, you're having a problem called arrhythmia, your heart, and the Lord wants to touch you. There's a person here, you have a problem of sleep apnea, and the Lord wants to set you free, heal you by the power of God. There's a person who needs healing in your vertebrae, and God wants to touch you. A person who has serious colon issues, and the Lord wants to cure you by the power of His Holy Spirit. There's a person who has a problem with rheumatoid arthritis, and the Lord wants to cure you. There's a person, you have problems with your thyroid, and God wants to touch and do a miracle for you by the power of His Holy Spirit. The Lord is here. There's a gentleman older, you have problem in your bone density, and your bones are brittle. And the Lord wants to touch you and cure you. There's a person, you have a problem with your prostate gland. Gentlemen, the Lord wants to touch you and cure you. There's a person with a liver issue. The Lord wants to touch you. There's someone here with problem, constant problem with tonsillitis. Gets inflamed, and the Lord wants to touch you today. There's a person with asthma. The Lord wants to cure. There is a person with high sugar level, diabetes, and the Lord wants to cure you. There is a person, you have an enlargement of heart. God wants to touch and cure you. There is a person here, you have had problems in your rib cage because of an accident that happened 7 years ago, and you had rib injury, and you really have pain still, although you've been through surgery and all of that. God wants to touch you and make you whole by the power of His Spirit. As a lady, you have problem with fibroids, and you know that doesn't help you be pregnant, and the Lord wants to bring a miracle and cure you by the mighty power of His Holy Spirit. There's a person, you have anxiety spells and you cannot sleep through well. You don't sleep well. You take sleeping pills, but they don't help. Today, Jesus says, come, and you will be restored. Tonight, the message, the invitation is come. Come and be refreshed. Come and be set free. Come and settle that sense of guilt and condemnation that you have. The lie the enemy has spoken to you and said to you, he really doesn't love you because you don't measure up. If you were able to do this, this, and this, maybe he would love you more. But as of now, because you cannot, you'll never amount to. That's a lie. And you have, there's a lady who is thinking that way. And the Lord says, that's a lie. Come, let us reason together. Come and tell him how you feel. And you will go today completely healed by the truth of His love. He loves you. He rejects no one. He calls all of us to come. Hallelujah. And tonight you will go healed, experiencing a miracle in your body, in your mind, in your soul, transformed by His Spirit. Where you go?